All right, I'm going to get started this morning, and one of the things that we always need to do as we come into God's presence is to prepare our hearts to come into His presence. And I think that is very much in our busy world where we miss things too many times. Is, you know, we come rushing in to church at the last minute, full of the cares of the world, thinking about everything that we need to do, angry at the jerk who pulled out in front of you or the guy at the stoplight who didn't go when the light turned green, frustrated because the drive-in line at McDonald's was too big for you to get your breakfast biscuit and coffee. Am I just talking about me, or does that hit anybody else? So we come into God's house, and we're supposed to be prepared and in an attitude of worship, and we come in here, and we're happy just to have made it through the door. Maybe we were on time, maybe we were late, who knows? But we come in not prepared to enter in to the presence of God. And then we go through the motions. We're going to hear this later, but Matt Redmond wrote a song that addresses that. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm going to stop there. Because you see, worship is heart to heart. It's not head to heart. It's not seeing and being seen. It's not the words that come out of your mouth unless those words originate in your heart. And so many times we all go through the motion. And I think a lot of times we forget that the goal of worship is not to bless you, it's to bless God. And when we bless God, He feeds that back to us, and the fact that we have blessed Him results in blessing for us. You see, we aren't the primary focus, we get the rebound. We celebrate God for who He is and for what He's done and for the nature of His character. When we celebrate Him and it really flows from deep within us, then that echoes back to us. We serve Him, we bless Him, we celebrate Him, and we get the blessing back because we've blessed God. See, that goal is to bless God. And we've got to remember that we come into a time of worship to honor God, to love God, to reverence God. We come in humility, realizing that He is God and we are not. You see, our modern world has it flipped on its head. The modern world, so many times, the messages that you hear from some of the mega churches and what have you is God wants to bless you. Well, that may be true, but that's not primary. Like I said, the primary thing is we bless God and the kickback blesses us. If we're in it for the wrong reason, if we've got the wrong motive, if it's all about me and not all about Him, the system becomes broken and it doesn't work. And we get tired. And we get frustrated. And we get angry. Because it seems like it's working for somebody else, but it ain't working for me. And the problem, my friends, is not with God. the problems with us? Are we releasing and opening ourselves to God? Can God get into your heart? Because here is something that we need to recognize in our modern world. We've all been hurt. If you're in this room, have you been hurt by somebody that you care about? Have you been hurt in a church relationship? Have you been hurt by just the nature of this crazy world that we live in? You see, hurt is a common factor in the human animal. We've all been hurt. And what do you do when you've been hurt? What does an animal do when it's been hurt? It goes into a defensive posture. It finds a defensible place and builds a wall of protection in front of it. Well, you do the same thing. When we have been hurt, we build a fortress with a locked gate to keep those people from hurting us again. It's common to the human condition. We get defensive. If I don't let them in, they can't hurt me no more. If I don't let them in, then, you know, I won't expose myself to the possibility of being wounded again. Just like a cat that backs into a corner and says, "You're not putting me in that carrier." We're backed up in the corner, our tails bristled, fur standing straight up, claws out. "You're not getting to me." And if you don't think you do that, you need to go look in the mirror again, because we all do it. I'm not going to let them get me again. I'm not going to let them hurt me again. But here's the problem. When you get behind those walls and lock that gate, you've locked your heart behind that gate too. And if they can't get in, God can't get in. Because you see, you've placed yourself in this defensive position. You've built a fortress to protect yourself from getting hurt, and that fortress has become a prison. If you stay your entire life locked in your fortress, you might as well be locked in prison. Because they can't come in and you can't get out. And it takes a decision to go unbar that gate and open it up. So we come into a church service on a Sunday morning and we say we want God to come into our lives, but we've got the gate locked. The gates are barred. The archers are on the parapet. Nobody getting in here. Well, as long as you keep God on the outside, He can't heal you on the inside. You have to make a decision to open your heart. And that's when we can begin to worship God, is when we open our heart. You can't worship, you can't love out of a closed heart. You might do the actions that you think indicate that. You know, you might say the right words, or you might, you know, give a card or a present or something, but you can't really love with a closed heart. It's heart to heart. The Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, lives inside you. And He wants to get out and change your life. But if you have walled yourself up in this fortress, He's locked in there too. And we just don't want to hear what He has to say sometimes. Because what He's saying is, open your heart to God. What He is saying is, I can help you if you'll let me. Those of you who work in the mental health field know that for someone to get better, they've got to open up. They have got to own their issues. They have got to let the truth get inside to begin to make changes. Well, Christian, you're the same way. If we have got God sealed up in a box in the attic behind an old bed frame and a box of magazines, and we don't let Him out of the box, He can't help. We locked ourselves in prison and we locked him in there with us. And then we won't listen to him. It takes a decision. You have the keys to your heart. And you alone have the keys to your heart. Going to take that padlock off or not? I will say this. When you take that padlock off, you become vulnerable. And you can be hurt. But you know what? There are many things that we have to endure a little hurt in order to get better. I dislocated a shoulder years ago on a job site down in Alabama. And I don't think in all of my medical journey I had anything that hurt any worse than that. And they always say it hurts worse to get it put back in. I got blessed. Not lucky, but blessed. Mine popped back in on its own. And the relief from having that shoulder dislocated and around here to it popping back in, it was like cue the hallelujah chorus. Let the angels sing. Free at last, great God Almighty, I'm free at last. See, that's the way it works, though. Sometimes you got to endure a little pain to get better. Sometimes you got to take that little fella back there in the fourth row. He'll have to go to the doctor, and they're going to stick a needle in him and shoot some stuff in there. And that's going to be an unpleasant moment, right? But it's for the greater good, right? You're preventing something later. Sometimes, you know, I look around at our joint club here, all the people that have had joint replacements and surgeries and what have you. It ain't no fun, is it? It hurts. But when you get over it, it don't hurt as much. Sometimes you got to endure a little pain, a little suffering in order to get better. And you've got to open yourself up to do it. You know, if you're in, I ain't going to the doctor mode, you're not going to get better. You got to open up and make the decision to go. So when we have soul pain, it's the same way. We got to make the decision that I will open up my heart and I will risk some temporary pain in order to get better. And we've got to do that, folks. Look, when we talk about worshiping God, I mentioned that we approach God with humility. We cannot approach God with arrogance. Scripture tells us to boldly approach the throne of grace, but it doesn't say to arrogantly and in pride to approach the throne of grace. I seem to recall the Bible teaches a story about a certain archangel who became prideful and said, I'll erect my seat above God. And he went for fall, didn't he? His name was Lucifer. We now refer to him as Satan or the devil. Pride goeth before a fall, right? We can't come in pride. We can't elevate ourselves. You know what? I'm not a bit more important than any one of you. And you're not a bit more important than anyone else sitting in this room. You're not a bit more important than the bum laying in the ditch or the drunk that staggered out of the bar at 2 o'clock last night. You're not more important than any of them. And we got to remember that. There, but for the grace of God, go I. And that is a truth. If God had not reached down to you, you'd be in the same boat as all them lost folks out there. It wasn't your good sense that brought you to God. It wasn't your wisdom that brought you to God. It was the grace of God reaching down to you and to meeting you wherever you were. And that was true when you made the decision to be born again and be a child of God. But you know what? It's equally true today. Because you know what? There's a lot of mileage on some of us. There's a little bit of mileage on some others of us. But the bottom line is, we've been out there in the world trying to get by. And the dust of the world is on us. And the pollution of what goes into our mind from the quote, truth that the world tries to sell us, all that stuff comes in. And if you never clean your house, you're going to be covered up in filth. If you never clean your soul, you're going to be covered up in filth. It takes maintenance. And we do that in part by opening ourselves to the presence of God. Because when we open ourselves to the presence of God, then He begins to shine the light on, hey, there's a cobweb in the corner over here. There's a pile of cat hair under the couch. You really ought to take the garbage out. It's starting to stink. But you see, if we don't open ourselves up to hear the Spirit, those things in our soul that we have collected just sit there and they fester. And I'll tell you, the longer they hang around, the more they stink. God loved us while we were yet sinners, right? He still loves us when we're struggling saints. And sometimes I think that we get to the point that we think we've arrived and we think we've done what God wants us to do and what have you, and we've closed our ears off to what God's trying to tell us. Where is He trying to shine the light today? Well, I don't need the light shined in there. I'm okay. That was the Pharisees in Jesus' day, right? We're sons of Abraham. We study the law. We make other people obey the law. I give a tithe of everything I get. I go to all the feasts and festivals. I can quote you scripture chapter and verse when there wasn't chapter and verse to quote. But He said, y'all missed it. Y'all, you're faithful in the little things, but you're missing the big point here. You're running people away from God. You're not drawing them to God. And I think sometimes we become Pharisees in our own life. We think we got a handle on it. We think we understand everything there is to understand. We think we're living right at the foot of the cross. And I would challenge you, if you've got that attitude, to go look in the mirror again and turn the lights on. Let the Holy Spirit turn the light on. Because we've all got cat hair under our spiritual bed. We've all got cobwebs in our spiritual corners. And we've probably all got some stinking garbage piled up in the corner somewhere. And we need to get it out. We're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we can't do that with a closed heart. We've got to open ourselves up so that He can flow in and we can flow out, and we get this wonderful interchange of us ministering to God and God ministering to us while we minister to God. Anybody ever marinate food before you cook it? What's the point of marinating food? To get the flavor into the food, right? Well, spiritually speaking, we need to soak in the Holy Spirit. We need to soak in an attitude of worship, because that's how the flavor of God gets into us. And if we're going to taste good, spiritually speaking, we need that marinade of the Holy Spirit infused into every part of our being. And any place we've got a wall and a locked gate, marinade's not getting in. If you take that chicken breast at home and seal it up in a Ziploc bag and dip the sealed up Ziploc bag in the bowl of marinade, you're going to get a seasoned bag and a bland chicken breast. Just because you're here in this house, just because you listen to a message, just because you sing a few songs, doesn't mean the marinade's getting into the meat. We got to open it up and let God in. Exactly. Sometimes you got to poke a few holes in it to get the marinade in too. Yeah. Look, we come in here to a church service, and it's not a lecture. It's not a concert. It's not a show. It should be you and God one-on-one. Doesn't matter if there are two people in this room or 102 people in this room. It's you and God individually. We might worship in the presence of the corporate assembly, but worship is inherently and intensely personal. Made a comment one day, and I don't remember what exactly the context of the conversation, but I made the comment that Zeta could worship in a trash can, like Oscar the Grouch, you know. She could worship in a trash can. Well, it's because you open yourself to do so. It doesn't matter. If I'm here in an attitude of worship, it doesn't matter what Chelsea's doing or what Carlos is doing or what Dwayne's doing. It's me and God. And you know what? If we're all listening to God, we're probably going to end up in pretty good harmony because He's going to be working on each and every one of us. But you see, Marianne's issues are different than Melinda's issues, are different than Bruce's issues. And God wants to intensely and personally work on your soul. And He has the capacity to do that in the midst of the multitude if we let Him in. I think I'm about done this morning. My call to you today is very simply this. Unlock the gate to your heart. Enter in to worship. It's not about the song. It's about heart to heart. It's not about the communion that we're about to share. It's about you opening yourself to God in intimacy. And we're going to share the Lord's Supper here in a minute, and it's about coming together. We come together individually with God, and as we individually come together with God, we come closer to each other in the corporate assembly. It's not about a cracker and some grape juice. It's not about the action of actually doing it. It's about what does it mean to you? What's in your heart? Can you truly say, as we get ready to take communion, can you truly say, God, I'm opening my heart to you and I want to be closer to you right now than I've ever been before? If it's about anything other than that, you might want to pass until you get to that point. That's what I'm saying. Look, it's not about the ritual. Jesus was pretty hard on the Jewish church of his day that was heavy on ritual and heavy on rules and light on relationships. It's about the relationship, folks. It's about opening yourself and truly becoming one with God. And we can do that if we let it happen. God is more than willing to become intimate with you. Are you willing to become intimate with Him? Gentlemen, now actually I'm going to do an altar call first, I think. Folks, look closely at yourselves. Look close at your attitudes. Look close at your want-tos. And make a decision and a choice to open your heart to God. If you got the key to that lock that's on your gate, use the key and unlock it. If it's been so long that you've lost the key, you might have to get out some bolt cutters. And it might take a little more effort to get that lock off. But you've got to do it. I can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. You know, the great evangelists can't do it for you. The great praise and worship leaders can't do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. So as the altars are open, I'm going to tell you this. Make your peace with God today. I don't know what it takes. You know what it takes. You know where you're holding back. You know where the locked doors are. You know where the pile of cat hair and the stinky garbage is. But you see, it's up to you to change it. Take out the trash. What is the old Joyce Meyer? You got to get rid of your stinking thinking. Some of us got some stinking thinking. Altars are open. Do what you need to do with God this morning, and then we'll go into a time of communion.